Welcome to this audio program, The Simplicity of Inner Peace, presented by Wendy Freer. Wendy is an expert in helping people sustain their health and success through proper energy management. She teaches meditation, creating sacred space, and stress management. She's worked with clients privately and in group settings, and you can find out more about Wendy and the services she offers at www.wendyfreer.com. You are listening to Part 3, The Buffering Effect of Meditation.
Hi, this is Wendy Freer. Welcome back to The Simplicity of Inner Peace. We're in Module 3, The Buffering Effect of Meditation. In the last module, we talked about the interference of the grasping mind in our quest for inner peace. And today we're going to look at another type of interference, reactions. My main point in this module is that reactions happen in meditation as well as in daily life. We want to understand, one, why this happens and how it relates to the grasping nature of the mind, and two, how letting go of thoughts in meditation can be a great practice to learn how to let go of reactions in life. And lastly, I'll be introducing a process that helps to dissolve or discharge reactions, limiting belief systems, and emotional or mental trauma at its source. So let's jump in. In this module, we're going to talk about reactions and the buffering effect of meditation. We are going to begin to understand reactions in meditation and outside of meditation in your daily life. So why would I say that there are reactions in meditation? Well, if you look at what we are trying to do in meditation, there is definitely an antagonistic relationship between the ordinary mental consciousness, or the grasping mind, that we talked about in Module 2, and the part that wants inner stillness, inner silence, and inner peace. When you begin to sit quietly, your ordinary mind is going to want to begin its discourse. It's like it has you as a captive audience if you let it. I'm sure you've felt this if you've tried to meditate in the past. Tons of thoughts, difficulty staying still. Sound familiar? The grasping nature of the mind is like its own creature, and it takes that exact opportunity when you are sitting still trying to meditate to remind you of all the things you need to do, why you need to get up and take action right now and not in 10 minutes. It will also bring thoughts about why you still need to be mad at so-and-so and why you can't get what you want, who you love, who you don't love, why you should be afraid of taking the next big step in your life or your business. Crunch, crunch, crunch. That's the sound or the feeling of the grinding, constricting activities of the ordinary mind. You see, I believe that these thoughts are our mind's way of reacting to stillness and inner peace. Because the mind moves, it's more resonant with drama and mental activity. It's not comfortable with stillness or silence, and so it reacts by sending distracting thoughts at the worst times, and especially during your meditation. Now, what would happen if you dropped the nonsense of the ordinary mind? What if your practice was to continually let go of the grasping nature of the mind? One result would be a corresponding letting go or dropping of limiting belief systems and conditioned behavior, because that is what your mind holds on to. It holds on to visions of who you are and what you believe based on what you've experienced, good or bad, and what you have been taught. If you let go of past traumas, old stories, or unconscious conditioning, who would you be? What would your life look like if you weren't afraid to make a mistake? Or if you weren't afraid to take a risk or lose things that you've gathered so far in this life? Scary, huh? What if instead you could feel a bigger perspective and embrace opportunities to get exactly what you want? Trust me, I'm pretty sure your ordinary mind doesn't like me asking these questions, because if you begin to hold a bigger perspective in your life, the nonsense of the mind that has been holding you back becomes obsolete. You just don't need it. I want to say that again because it's a huge point and a big shift in perspective. If you drop the limiting belief systems or the stories that your mind grabs onto, you will begin to experience a bigger perspective of your life, and the ordinary mind will become obsolete. You no longer need to entertain those limiting or sometimes even self-degrading thoughts. Are you beginning to feel the power of that? These are the things that the ordinary mind does not want you to consider, because without those limiting beliefs, you become a force in your own life. You begin to be visible or shine in a whole new way. And that is why meditation really can be an inner tool to success in your life, success in your business, or success in your relationships. Because through meditation, you can learn to no longer engage in the antagonistic fight between inner peace and outer fear and control. But instead, you let go into the bigger part of yourself, the perspective of trust and abundance on all levels. When we drop the limiting belief systems, when we drop the reactions and the stories, we begin to have an entirely different perspective of life. And we see more opportunities and possibilities, and we access greater potential within ourselves. Fear no longer is the driving force in our lives, and sometimes it's simply because something other than fear becomes way more interesting to engage in. So, if we can calm our mind in meditation and begin to really learn how to stay aligned with the stillness that is within us naturally, we can begin to bring that same know-how or alignment out into the world. And that allows us to begin to drop reactions in the world before they even start. That is what I mean when I say you begin to notice the buffering effect of meditation in your daily life. To put it another way, in meditation, a thought happens, and you need to let it go and go back to the spaciousness of your consciousness. In your daily life, a reaction to an event or a person might happen, and ideally, you want to have that same perspective of spaciousness that you hold in your meditation, so you can see the potential for a reaction about to start, and then let go of the reaction and choose a different way to respond. One that is more in alignment with the true essence of who you are. I want to see if I can make this more clear by quickly sharing an experience. One day when my son was pretty young, probably around 4 years old or so, he was helping me bake some cookies. So I gave him an egg to hold as I was collecting the other ingredients. Dangerous, you say? Yes. But I was in a pretty good space that day, so I handed him the egg and just watched. I saw him look at the egg, and it's like you could feel the wheels turning in his little head. Curiosity at its finest. As you've probably guessed, he dropped the egg on the floor, and to his astonishment, the most amazing thing happened. A beautiful yellow yolk popped out of the egg and suddenly appeared on the floor. And I could see his appreciation for this magic on his little face. Because I was more in observer mode, I was able to feel the nuances of this event. It's not like he was trying to do something wrong or make me angry. His behavior was not directed at me at all. He was just experimenting. So I participated in his delight and then taught him how to clean up the mess he had just made. If I hadn't begun to build this buffering effect of meditation in my life, or if I hadn't had a way to be in observer mode, or if I had a reaction to the mess rather than appreciating the experiment, I'm pretty sure that one little event would have ruined a big part of our day together. In that moment, I had the awareness to make a choice. react, or try to understand and appreciate what he was experiencing as a four-year-old, and then redirect him by having him clean up the mess himself so that the same thing didn't happen with the next egg. You see, the cleanup part was not nearly as fun as the dropping part. So let's go back to meditation and daily reactions. In meditation, you begin to slow down thoughts by catching them earlier and earlier and going back to your process. In daily life, you begin to slow down reactions by holding a bigger perspective so that you can see more options when stressful events happen in your life. Then you can choose to respond in a different way than you have responded in the past. Now, there is one more step. How do you begin to understand the source of your reactions so that you can learn to recognize them before they become full-blown reactions, while at the same time becoming more and more familiar with the spaciousness or the bigger perspective that I talk about? There is a process, and it's called inner space interactive sourcing, and it's part of the inner space techniques. So it's abbreviated IST. The inner space part refers to the space of the third eye, and sourcing refers to going back to the origin. Through this process, I guide you into the meditative space of the third eye, and then together we begin to feel what is happening in your body of energy. Sometimes feelings come up, sometimes images or memories come up, but the direction is to get to the source of the limiting belief system or past trauma that may have happened and discharge the samskara or scar that is holding the trauma or belief in place. When you begin to dissolve that feeling of charge or intensity right at the source, it changes and heals something deep within. There is also an amazing space of self-discovery that happens with the IST process as you feel the bigger parts of yourself that are quite different in nature than the scars of the past. I'd like to take just a minute to explain a bit more about these scars or samskaras. Samskara is a Sanskrit word, and it refers to the imprint left by traumatic emotional experiences. A samskara is a scar of the astral body, and we'll be talking about the astral body more in the next module. These imprints or scars tend to shape our life in a particular way, and not always in the way we want it to be. One way that samskaras show themselves is through our reactions. The idea here is that an event or a person hits this scar inside of us, and we react not only to what is happening in the moment, but part of us overreacts because it's like a domino effect, starting back from the origin of the scar through every single event in our life that has happened that has triggered that scar to what is going on right now. So the easiest way to say that is that when a samskara is triggered, our reaction is over the top. The cause or the stimulus from the outside world just doesn't seem to match the intensity of the reaction that it creates within us. Let me give you an example of how a samskara might get created and the unconscious consequences of a samskara. Let's say we have a little boy, maybe 2 years old, and he's going to visit some family friends with his parents, mom and dad on either side of him, and as they walk into the house, a large Rottweiler dog begins to approach him. Now, everybody there knows that Rottweilers love children, and this dog just wants to give the little boy a kiss. But to the child, its perception is that there's this large animal with his mouth open coming at him. And that's very scary because he hasn't built up any sort of rationalizing tools. And so he is having a frightening experience while everyone else knows that the dog just wants to give him a kiss. So you can imagine with just that one experience, this young child most likely will grow up afraid of dogs. Because what he saw was a large dog with his mouth open, ready to eat him. Now, on a much more subtle level, though, This young man might grow up and have an innate distrust in people because while he was experiencing panic as this dog in his mind was attacking him, no one helped him. Now, we know from the story that the adults knew that the dog was just going to give him a kiss, but the child did not know that. So his version of the story was that nobody helped him at a time when he was really in trouble. So he's lost trust in people. Or it could go even deeper to the point where he has a sense of abandonment that he carries in his life because the people who loved him most did not come to his rescue. This could even result in a feeling of betrayal. So the result being that he dislikes dogs. But when that child becomes a man, and maybe one of his children asks for a dog, all the feelings of the event that by now he may have even forgotten flood forward, and he is over the top angry about the request for a dog without even knowing why he's so mad. So you see, these events, these things that happen when we are young, hit very, very deep. The good news is that the IST process can address these scars at their source so you can have a greater awareness of why you act the way you do in stressful or difficult situations. The IST process helps to discharge or lessen the samskaric intensity about past events and traumas. If you'd like to know more about IST, you can get a look at my website. And remember, you can always contact me with specific questions by signing up for a free 30-minute session with me. Now, before we end, I want to take a minute and give you a heads up about Module 4. In that module, we're going to talk about the subtle energy bodies, where these samskaric charges or scars of the mind and emotions live in your body of energy. We'll also be talking about the etheric body and how to feel that for yourself so you can use it to help quiet your mind in meditation. And one more thing. In Module 4, we'll be doing some practices together, so you might want to arrange to be in a quiet environment when you listen to that audio. I'm really looking forward to connecting with you again next time. Until then, be glorious.
Thanks for listening, and we trust you enjoyed this module of the audio program, The Simplicity of Inner Peace, presented by Wendy Freer and Engage the Flow. You can contact Wendy at www.wendyfreer.com or by email at wendy@wendyfreer.com. That is Wendy Freer, spelled W-E-N-N-D-I-F-R-E-E-R.